Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 13. This place is growing on me.
Hello and welcome back to Color Country Politics. We're so glad that you're here. Our second season is starting with President and CEO of the Cedar City Chamber of Commerce, Chris McCormick. And Chris and I sit on several different committees and organizations together. And one of the things that is consuming a lot of Chris's time these days is something called Vision 2050. And so we wanted to invite Chris on to talk to us about what is Vision 2050? Why should the community care? How is it potentially going to impact our community? And give us some history on it and kind of why it's important and, you know, why you're spearheading this effort.
Absolutely. So I appreciate the opportunity. It's something that the Chamber, about a year and a half ago, we started looking at our community and saying, you know, we've got an incredible community. We have a lot of wonderful assets. We're surrounded by magnificent beauty. But there are some things that are happening and different challenges that are happening. And I'll tell you one of the things that kind of brought it out into focus for me was when Mayor Wilson Edwards was involved in the Intergenerational Poverty Project. Mm-hmm. One of the things they saw there was multiple organizations duplicating efforts. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real challenge. And so we started looking around our community, and because of the Chamber being involved in so many different things, we started to hear the same things. Oh, this organization's doing something, and so is this one. Yeah. And it's similar to what we see going on. A prime example, so we both sit on the downtown committee together, and all of a sudden we hear about NACO and what they're doing, which is the National Association of Counties, and there's a group that flew back east, and they're working on projects. Well, they overlap into some of the things that we were doing on the downtown committee.
Right.
And so we started looking at that going, we've got to find a way to bring all these people together and start communicating on a way, on an ongoing basis, in a way that allows us to be sharing this information together. So one, we're not duplicating efforts.
Right.
And we're working more cohesively as a group to accomplish more.
And so you're kind of marshaling your resources as well. If you've got multiple organizations and people working on the same issue, your resources are sort of dissipated out there.
Exactly. So doing this hopefully will allow us all to pull in the same oar, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we're all going in the same direction. We're all communicating. And so we really looked at that. And then so in getting this process started, I went out there and looked at a lot of different other organizations and how they did their plans, their visions. And one of the things that I discovered is that this is something that chambers do all across the country. They run visioning processes for communities. So I went up and I met with Downtown Rising, which is driven by the Salt Lake Chamber. Mm-hmm. And I encourage anybody to look at downtownrising.com. It's a great website.
We really want to do yeah.
it really is. Yeah. And we want to duplicate that site closely, mm-hmm. not exactly, but very similar. But looking at that, I went up there and spent an entire day with them. And then we reached out to Envision Utah, and we brought a whole bunch of people from the community together and said, you know, look at their program. Well, they wanted a big chunk of money that, you know, how hard it is to raise money in this community.
Yeah.
So the community is very supportive and very willing to give, but not to the tune that's over $250,000
right.
to do a study.
Yeah. Well, the scale is certainly different in Iron County.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got a lot of smart people here, and we've tried very carefully to involve all the right players, all the right people, make it open to the community as a whole, and we're still moving in that direction, and we can talk about that here in a second. But the whole idea of bringing people together to talk about what are our needs, what are our wants, what are our desires. So we created these focus groups, and we did 12 key areas that we really honed in on. And one of the things that was really neat is we polled every focus group. Mm-hmm. And you've attended one of those, right? Mm-hmm. And so we passed out this little poll, and that was done by R&R Partners. And that's what they do. They know how to do those,
right.
gather that data and take it and really understand what people were trying to get at. A lot of times It depends on how you ask a question, sure, on the answer that you get. So they're very, mm-hmm, careful to kind of cross-check to make sure that we're getting the right feedback from people.
So so the feedback that you're kind of looking at with these focus groups and bringing all of these different people from the community together, and the Vision 2050 is sort of like what do we want to be as a community? Sort of projecting into the future what we want to be, and then how are we going to get there?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And so the thing that we want to do is be partners with the entire community. Mm-hmm. We don't want to, we're certainly not trying to take anybody's role, but we want to engage the city council. We want to engage the county commission, and we want to engage the university and Southwest Tech and the business owners and the arts council. And I mean, just all these organizations, the whole idea is bring everybody, mm-hmm, together. How do we work closely together to make this happen?
In a way, you're being a thought broker.
Mm-hmm. Sort of, yeah. And it's not, so the chamber is kind of leading the charge behind this, but the ownership of this is really the entire community.
Right.
It belongs to all of us because that's what this is about. It's about our community. What's our future going to be? Mm-hmm. And so we said, okay, let's look at the next 30 years. 2050 is a good projected time out. It gives us time to look at what we want to be, disseminate how that breaks down, and then who runs those things? So we want to have a very large steering committee.
Yeah.
The idea behind that is so that two or three representatives from the city, same from the county, even Enoch has been involved in, uh-huh, these meetings, and they're thrilled about it, which is great. Somebody from the university, someone from Southwest Tech, several people from the business sector. Mm-hmm. Bring these people together on a monthly basis from here until we're old and gone, and hopefully beyond. So that we're always having this as a living, breathing thing, because that's the whole idea, is that if we're always communicating, yeah, we can accomplish. I think what happens too often is we get excited about an idea and we get charged up about it, and then people get busy and they start to fall apart. But if we had some accountability, we had regular meetings, and every time you would come back and talk to us about, okay, what are the realtors doing? Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just using that as an, mm-hmm, example. But let's say we chose the Board of Realtors or the Realtors organization to tell us what's going on in that industry.
Sure.
What are the things that we need to bring to the table? What do we need to be educated about? Because if we can do that, then we can adapt as things go. The challenge a lot of times when you get a study or a plan done is that you look at it and then several years later, well, that's changed and that doesn't really fit anymore. But if you're talking about it on an ongoing basis, mm-hmm, now you can address it and make changes as you go instead of saying, well, that didn't work. Because that's where people get burned out, right? Is when people take a plan and they take a look at something and they put it there. That's what we're going to do. And then, oh, it just doesn't work. The economy changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like your idea, too, of bringing together so many different industries. Because even if the people in those industries change, you're always going to have some kind of a level of expertise.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're talking to tech people, you know, maybe you're not talking specifically to Jesse Harris, but you're talking to people with a similar background, access to the same kinds of information. You know, you've got home builders, you've got healthcare, you've got so many different facets of our community where the organizations are always going to have somebody that has a level of expertise in that industry that is going to be able to bring something to the table. That's one of my favorite parts about this, the Vision 2050, is the recognition of all of the different parts and pieces of the community and how we can kind of bring those together and have those conversations about how are we moving forward and can we coordinate and move forward as a community together and really benefit from that synergy.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in that adage that together we're stronger. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that. And I think that when we can have that communication, I'd like to kind of, if you don't mind, go over some of the focus groups.
Let's
do, kind of give people an idea of these are the areas we kind of looked at. And I know there's a lot more areas. You can overanalyze, right? You can get way too many.
You can really get down in the weeds and spend so much time thinking and talking that you never do.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the focus groups we worked on were transportation, and we brought in people from UDOT to, mm-hmm, come and run that for us. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in transportation, so we brought in the experts, mm-hmm, to run that focus group. Land use and housing, we had Reed Erickson with our county. He's a great planner. He, mm-hmm, understands it. He lives it and breathes it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with infrastructure. We had Reed Erickson there. healthcare, we had Eric Packer at the hospital come in and talk about that. He did an amazing job, and he made us aware of things that aren't, that aren't being addressed properly. So that's great. That's how we address these issues. We bring them all to the surface, but then we let everybody, because so often the cool ideas come from somebody that's maybe removed from it so they can see a little bit more clearly. Does that make sense? You can't see the forest through the trees, kind of an adage.
Well, I say often nobody has a monopoly on good ideas.
Sure.
And exactly.
One of the problems you see in organizations is you sometimes develop this group think of, oh, well, this is the accepted wisdom. Mm-hmm. This is the way we do it. And until you bring in some of those outside parties, you don't step back and go, wait a minute, I never thought about it that way. Let's reevaluate what we're doing.
Exactly. And that's been incredible. And that's the whole thing I've loved about these focus groups is you get so much interesting, diverse ideas, but really smart ideas.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So after healthcare, we did arts, entertainment, and tourism. And we had the girl that runs Utah Tourism Industry Association.
Mm-hmm. Maria Twitchell?
No, from up in Salt Lake.
Oh, okay.
So sort of her equivalent at the state level.
That's right. So we've tried to bring in the, and I went to Maria and said, who do we bring in? Who's the right person? She goes, this is the girl. So we did. And then education, community character. So education, we brought in somebody from the governor's office to come down and facilitate that because they can tell you what's going on the state level so that people can interact. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. And then community character. And this is that was a really fun one. And that's one that I think that, again, this is a crossover area, the downtown group, NACO group. Several other people are talking about this. What's our future going to look like? What are we going to look like?
Yeah.
And so I think it's really exciting. Then parks, open space, and recreation, and then economic development. And we brought in Diane Meppin from the Kim C. Gardner Institute. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they are the state's leading people that do all the data and all that for the
very, very impressive leadership of that group and also the attendees. It was really, really fascinating.
Absolutely. So we've tried very carefully to make sure that we have a wide audience that's represented. So we want to have a lot of the right players in the room, but we also want some of that diversity that maybe doesn't have as much background in that area so that when we're talking about these things, you get those interesting ideas or those questions that everybody else would ask that we might not ask because we're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
So it's been a really incredible thing. And so I'll go over the process a little bit. So we started out initially just having a lot of conversations with a lot of people saying, hey, do you think this is a good idea? Is this the right approach? We've talked to tons of people, literally over 300 people. And so we started having what we call stakeholder meetings. And what I mean by that is people from the city, people from the county, people from some of the bigger organizations, university, you name it, and saying, okay, is this the right idea for Cedar City? Do we have enough buy-in? Do we want to do this? Do the people here want to do this?
Yeah.
We don't want to try to force anything on anybody.
Sure.
But the thing that's been so exciting for me is everybody is just jazzed about this. They want to do this.
Yeah.
They say we have an incredible, incredible community. But how do we make sure we preserve that? And how do we build on that so that it, you know, in the future, we're leaving a legacy for our kids and grandkids. So when they come in here and they go, what a great place, right?
Yeah.
We don't become common or ordinary. Or
You hear a lot of anxiety in city council meetings now whenever there's any sort of change being discussed of new developments or widening a road or changing zoning. A lot of people are worried about, well, this isn't what I moved here for. You know, how is this going to change? Are we, you know, are we just going to look like St. George in 20 years? And, you know, they moved here because it's not St. George.
Right.
We moved here because it's not St. George.
Right. And I think that's where that conversation leads to, right?
Yeah.
What do we want to be? How do we make those changes? So, and not necessarily changes, but how do we preserve the things that are important to us?
Well, we know that as a community, we are growing. That's something that just, it is happening. It's happening right now. We're right in the middle of it.
And you can't stop it.
Exactly. Yeah. So as a community, I love the concept of, what are we going to be? What is our vision as a community? How do we preserve the things that make our community so unique and so special and so important to the people who love it so much? Recognizing that there's going to be things that we need to adapt to.
Absolutely.
How do you fit that all in? And I think the important thing is to have that conversation together you know, through a mechanism like Vision 2050. So we can preserve the things that are so important, but still adapt to the changes that come with a bigger population.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we start with the stakeholder meetings, and then we had our focus groups, and thank goodness those are done. That took a long time. but they're a necessary process, right? How do you get the ideas on the table? And then we determined key focal points. And so in every one of those, we talked about the surveys that we handed out in every focus group. So there's 12 key focal points that came out. So the first one was land use, creating an area vision with local focus on placemaking. So how does this a place that people want to live and hang out, right? One of the challenges that we hear is a lot of times in our community, people go home. And there's nothing wrong with going home. I mean, I'm not saying don't have your family. I'm good with that. But when you ask, we ask the question to a lot of people, where do you hang out? Most of them at home. There, where is there in Cedar that you would hang out? So the city park, the university, and there wasn't too much else that was really that came to the surface. A few people said, well, I do bike trails, or I do hiking trails, or I do whatever. But there wasn't that real placemaking place. And that's one of the things that the downtown committee was working on with the Better City Project that creates a placemaking place where locals, students, and tourists can all hang out and enjoy. So placemaking. The next one was avoid leapfrog growth. So one of the things that was interesting in the infrastructure focus group was how expensive it is when we have a development here and a development way out here. Oh, and then another one way over here. Well, eventually all of that infrastructure has to be replaced. And it wears out. Who's going to pay for it? Well, we are. We're going to be taxed or something. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. That little neighborhood probably can't afford it way out there by itself. So one of the things they said, and this is from a lot of different people, is let's work on filling those in now. Let's grow inward instead of doing more of those. And that's not to say that growth isn't smart and intelligent, but let's look at maybe that's an area we can look at and how we can incentivize that. And then develop walkable and mixed-use centers, and that's kind of what we talked about with placemaking as well. But the mixed-use idea is where people live in the downtown area, perhaps. So one of the things that they did in some of the other communities is where they have retail on the ground floor, and we've talked about this as well. And then maybe you have office space on the second floor and housing on the third floor type of a thing. That was done. What's interesting to me is what's old is new again, right? Because, you know, I looked and looking back at my grandfather living in a downtown area where he lived up in a condo and then there was businesses down below. And it's kind of funny that, we're kind of going back to that.
That's one of my very favorite concepts about, you know, this whole process is the potential to actually influence the way our community looks and the way our community interacts. You know, if and you start talking about zoning and parking and all of these sort of, you know, kind of mundane, you know, things. But if you're talking about, you know, the sort of infrastructure things and the growth things, if you've got, you know, retail and entertainment restaurants all on the ground level, you're going to attract local people. You're going to attract students. You're going to attract tourists. And one of the things that we've talked about is tourists want to go where the locals go.
That's right.
You know, if so you create that space and it attracts everybody. And then if you've got residential as well, you don't have as much parking, you know, to deal with. And then the residential can enhance those businesses. It's such an incredible concept. And you're right. That used to be sort of the norm. And then we, you know, we started getting away from those centers and pushing everything out into the suburbs. And that's something to me that is just very, very exciting for our downtown area, as well as the community around it, is to create something that everybody really wants to come to and has got all of those elements to it. I just am so excited.
And I listened to a great episode of the I Am Salt Lake podcast where they were interviewing the founders of Feldman's Deli in Salt Lake City. And he was pointing out that, hey, you know, we're from the East Coast there. There's always these little neighborhood businesses that are in the middle of the houses. And that's where everyone goes. It's like, hey, you've got, you know, the little family-owned restaurant and the little family-owned corner store. And, you know, people set up shop as, you know, a tailor or seamstress or a shoe repair. And, you know, that's something that, in the last few decades, as we grow suburbs, we don't really grow those neighborhood businesses.
Yeah.
We lose a little bit of character.
Exactly. I love the fact that we're having that conversation.
Me too. And that's what we're hearing from the people that live in those communities. I want something where it's convenient, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fun. And so another thing which I really liked was the well-connected community and transportation corridor. Mm-hmm. So it's not just strictly cars, but what about our bicycle mm-hmm. trails and our mm-hmm. hiking trails mm-hmm. and all that? And I know that that's in the works. A lot of our city's been working on that very hard. Mm-hmm. The bike trails, I can't remember the name. There's so many acronyms out there, but for the IMBA or whatever, they're working on the bike trails. And I know there's several that go out there and volunteer time to go hand shovel our trails. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And how do we connect those to our downtown? So uh-huh. now there's a network where everybody can get around
uh-huh.
the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And biking and walking and, of course, driving, because no one's going to probably give up their car. But to create those alternatives is just really exciting.
It is. It really is. And then provide a variety of housing types. And that's mm-hmm. something we hear all the time. You know, it's housing affordability is becoming a bigger and bigger issue.
It really
is. And it's being discussed nationwide.
Yeah.
Anybody that's growing right now is having that conversation.
Yeah.
So it's smart that we're talking about it and exploring ideas. SUU's doing a thing here in a couple of weeks where there's going to be a meeting on that very topic mm-hmm. and people are coming together to share ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then, I think we've done a pretty good job of this, but it's how do we make sure? This is one of the things that people wanted to make sure stayed in place was preserving our area vistas and scenic landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a shame, right, if there was big buildings that blocked the Red Vista, the big, beautiful Red Hill.
Well, that's part of the character of this community.
That's right. Is
our location relative to all of this beautiful scenery that we're right in the middle of.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's huge.
Exactly. And then designating areas for industrial growth and agriculture. So the industrial growth, I think we've done a really good job there. Agriculture is there, but time and again we see where you know, a housing development went in or mm-hmm. something else went in there. And that's not a bad thing, but are we planning?
Mm-hmm.
Are we planning mm-hmm. to preserve our agriculture? Because mm-hmm. we still need it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important mm-hmm. part of our economy. Mm-hmm. So how do we plan for that? And then managing natural resources, conserve, innovate, and plan. And again, you know, you take a look at what they're doing with the Water Conservancy District, doing these recharge projects. That's smart, right?
Yeah.
It's not the whole solution, but it's a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's people being innovative, looking for creative ideas to solve our current issues. And I think that's one of our big strengths in our community. And then support and strengthen SUU and Southwest Tech's local and regional position.
Yeah.
Because they both have incredible programs. I love what the two schools are doing, working together.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
We're leading the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a powerful message to say that, look, we're excited about education. We're concerned about education. And we're trying to do things that fit the future generations. They don't want to get in debt.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to be in school for a long time. Mm-hmm. They want to get out in the workplace and start mm-hmm. making a living.
Yeah.
And then this new 3-year degree. Well, that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You listen to the things that President Wyatt wants to go. I mean, he's talking stuff that, you know, most universities, they would have thrown him out already talking about it, talking about things like that, you know, accelerated degree completion, talking about competency-based education where it's not the credit hour system anymore. It's, oh, you know the material, we're signing off, move to the next thing, stop wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And and Brendan Wood's doing very similar things at Southwest Tech.
Yeah.
So watching those two guys work together, looking at our community, really looking at the needs of the future for education.
Yeah.
We're very, very fortunate.
And focusing on the needs of the students and the community and not being so siloed in their individual organizations, but really opening that up and thinking outside the box like you were talking about and coming up with some absolutely innovative ideas. It's incredible to watch. It's fun.
Especially creating a job pipeline. I know a lot of people mm-hmm. who went to SUU and then they moved because they couldn't find a job here.
So that's one of those topics that was discussed in here too, was how do we create the industries for the future for our community so that our kids can go to school mm-hmm. and stay here if they want.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to stay here.
Yeah.
Shame on them. Anyway, and then engage other counties, communities, and to leverage our regional assets, because we're not going to be able to get everything. But if we can help support our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Parowan or whether it's even St. George, if there's a regional asset that would benefit us
mm-hmm.
in our region, we should help support that.
Yeah.
And and vice versa. They'll help us as well. Mm-hmm. And so those are positive things to look at. And then keep state and federal partners focused on our efforts. And that's something that is really big. It's one of the things that we keep learning. The more that they know about what we're doing,
yes,
the more when programs come out or different things, they can point to us and say, here's a city that's ready for this. Here's a community that needs this. Or, you need to go see Cedar City or Iron County. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep people engaged in the process. And then the last one was historic preservation. Identify, preserve, and protect. And that's the key is, you know, so you were talking earlier about our incredible downtown. Mm-hmm. And I agree. But as we grow, what things do we want to make sure we don't lose?
Yeah.
How do we create incentives for people to preserve that? Mm-hmm. Because it's an expense. Mm-hmm. It's a big expense to preserve an old historic building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, going to your point earlier, as we grow, how do we grow in a way that it complements in our downtown or our buildings and our community mm-hmm. and doesn't take away from it? You don't want a community where everywhere you go, you kind of go, what? You want something that's kind of cohesive, it fits, it blends, it preserves our identity, it's still unique and interesting and fun, but it's not so avant-garde and off the wall that people kind of go, is there a theme in this town? Or did anything go up anywhere?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not a bad thing to be creative. I think those are very positive things. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole idea of, and I love that this came from all of those focus groups. These 12 points are things that time and again, we're written down.
Yeah.
And so we put them on here, and it's those are the 12 key points.
So now that you have your key points, you've done the focus groups, you've got the community input, and it is solid. I mean, this has been a really intense process. So you've got the information, you've got the data. What do you do with it now? What's the next steps in Vision 2050?
So we're going to go one step further on the data. Just because the focus groups were 15 to 20 people average. And the reason you don't make them bigger is because then it gets to be overthink. Mm-hmm. And you get so many ideas that you can't really narrow down on anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what we do is we do the focus groups, and then we take that information to the public. So we're going to actually do a community survey, and we're actually working on that process right now. The survey hasn't gone out. We expect that to go out in the next 30 days. And get that out to the public. And we want everybody to share it. Share it with everybody in the community.
What's the mechanism that's
going to be? So it's going to be an online mechanism.
Okay.
And so we're working with a couple of different organizations right now trying to figure out what's the smartest path to do that so that we can get the most people possible. And then combine that, you'll see a lot of the data that we've already talked about mm-hmm. included in those surveys so that we're asking the right questions. But having somebody that does this professionally instead of Chris McCormick doing it, it comes from, you know, a really trusted source. And that's what we're really after.
Sure. Yeah.
So once we do that, have the public survey, then what we want to do, the data will be analyzed. And then we're going to also try to do just a couple little public meetings where people can come and just take a look and weigh in on things and just have that conversation. Just another way to get more people mm-hmm. involved, because mm-hmm. we really want this to be a community-driven thing. This is not something that, you know, the chamber saying this is the way we need to go, or the home builders, or anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's all of us working together for the good of all of us, mm-hmm. right? And then from there, we've already started a small steering committee, but we want to find those other players. Mm-hmm. So somebody from home builders, somebody from realtors, somebody from SUMA, somebody from SUU, somebody from, you know, several different businesses. So, and again, the city and the county, and it's going to be a big steering committee, mm-hmm. but there's so many things taking place out there. If those individuals can go back to their areas and meet with, so the Arts District has NACO and the Arts and SUMA and, you know, Orchestra of Southern Utah, mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. several different organizations. Well, if we give every one of those a seat, we're going to have 400 people right. in this steering committee. That's going to be a bit too much to handle. Mm-hmm. But that one person, that key person, can go back to those groups and each month get a report from them. Where are you in this mm-hmm. process? Mm-hmm. And that way, we're communicating every month. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to put together a website. And I encourage people to look at downtownrising.com, because that's the site we want to emulate mm-hmm. as much as possible. One of the cool things on there is a map. And you click on it, and there's these little icons. And you click on that icon, and it tells you what's going on in that area. Mm-hmm. Every time a hole gets dug in Cedar City, the chamber's phone rings. and rings and rings. What's going on over there? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not the city. I'm not being snarky.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I don't ever say that. I say, well, you know. But I do try to find those answers. But wouldn't it be great if we had a location where everybody mm-hmm. went there? So when I went to Salt Lake, I spent a day up there with the folks at Downtown Rising. And they said that website did more to keep people engaged than anything mm-hmm. else, because people look at that map and they go, hey, it says groundbreaking on this day and there's still not any dirt being moved. What's going on? It keeps the community sure. engaged in the process. Yeah. And that's what we really want. Uh-huh. We've got good people, I think, leading us in government, but we need to work together. How do we support them as well? You know, I think a lot of times we get somebody in an office or in a position, they say, well, that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, it's all of our job,
yeah.
in my opinion.
No, we're all affected by it, certainly.
Exactly. So the more that we can help them mm-hmm. be successful, mm-hmm. the more we're helping ourselves, mm-hmm. yeah. right? So that's the next thing. And then we, in this process, is identify potential catalytic projects. So one of them is the Better City Project mm-hmm. downtown. Mm-hmm. One of the areas that was identified by several people is the North Interchange.
Yeah.
What are we going to do there yeah. to make things happen? So there's a few others, but I want the public to weigh those out. I don't want to be putting any seeds in anybody's head, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then have the a summary document put together, mm-hmm. and then we'll try to get it out to as many people as possible, and then get this committee going, and just really focus on bringing people together on an ongoing basis. That's really what it's about.
Now, one of the things that I have seen is, you know, because the city, Cedar City, has done lots of different studies over the many years that I've lived here. And I think that this incorporates a lot of those elements too. But I think a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here can only be taken so far without some real buy-in, not just from the community, but from city council and staff and that, because you are talking about things that are going to require zoning changes, ordinance changes. You know, what's the relationship? What's the conversation, I guess, with the chamber and the community and everybody who's worked on Vision 2050 and sort of incorporating that logistically with how we're going to move forward?
Sure. So one of the things we're doing is once we have all this all put together and all the surveys and everything, the data's all been compiled, then we're going to go meet with the city council and we're going to meet with the county commissioners. We want this to be an open book. Like I said, it's not about trying to force anybody's hand. It's trying to have a conversation on an open dialogue mm-hmm. on an ongoing basis where we can all be partners with our city, with our county, with our businesses, with our schools, with everybody, right? It's
yeah.
it's bringing everybody together. So it's and we've had tremendous support from our people in the city. Mm-hmm. We've had different people come to we've invited a lot of people from the city mm-hmm. to come and participate in our focus groups and other meetings. We took a group of us, seven of us, went back to West Virginia for a conference to learn about, you know, community character and things along those lines and balancing nature and commerce and just a lot of really cool stuff. And, you know, it's been a deep process, but that's the whole thing is we want everybody to have a role in this. This mm-hmm. is not about exclusion. It's not about trying to control. It's about all of us working together. Again, like we talked about early on, pulling on the same oar. Mm-hmm. How can we all work together and say collectively as a community, what do we want our future to be?
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, we're all going to be more successful, and we're going to have we already have an amazing community,
mm-hmm.
but how do we preserve it and make sure we have the future that our kids and our grandkids yeah. are going to be proud of?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Well, that's incredible. I mean, there's so much detail that we can you know dive into. Maybe we could have you back.
Sure.
And you know, as sort of your process is moving forward. Maybe get some updates, and because the nature of the scale of information that you're gathering here is just really incredible. And you, I know that you have had some amazing experts from the community that have weighed in and have brought in experts from outside of the community too, to sort of help guide, you know, those conversations and like you said earlier, asking questions that help us think and plan and decide what we want to do as a community. I sure appreciate your work on this. I mean, to take on a project of this nature, did you understand what you were getting into?
not to this scale. No, this has been a year and a half, and that's kept me up a lot of nights, and I'm good with that. I honestly, I love Cedar City. And even though I live in the county, I consider my home Cedar City.
Sure.
I mean, to me, it's all Cedar City. And I love this area. I love the people. I love the collaboration in our community. And that's one of the things that drives me to say, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just me doing this. I've had a lot of help. And everybody that's come to a meeting has been a help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want anybody to think this is about me, because it's not. It's really about our community. Yes, I have put tons of hours into this, and I will continue to do so. It's, like I said, it's been a year and a half, but it's been extremely educational.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I've brought in these different people, because honestly, I wouldn't know what questions to ask about infrastructure, or those are not areas of my expertise.
Yeah.
It's not my background. And so bringing these key people in that have that expertise has been extremely educational, very rewarding, and I love how much our community is engaged and been excited about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Anybody you talk to that's really, you know, kind of gotten into the nitty-gritty is just really, really jazzed.
It's just
a very, very cool project.
Really.
Well, thanks again for coming in and sharing just kind of the tip of the iceberg on this project. And if you have time, we'd love to have you back. And
I'd love to.
And maybe, you know, dig into it a little bit more and give us sort of a status update as you move forward. Because I think, you know, the next few months is probably going to be where the rubber hits the road.
That's exactly right. We're now, you know, we've done all this other stuff we talked about today is really the groundwork for really moving it forward. And so we're hitting an exciting time now.
Yeah.
But this is where a lot of the extra work begins now, too. So it's good. It's been a wonderful process, and I'm excited to share this and get more and more people engaged and involved.
Okay. Well, we'll have you back. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This has been Color Country Politics. We've had Chris McCormick from the Cedar City Chamber of Commerce. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.